Quran Sharifs or in the Quran stuff. Everyone has the right to make his ibadah, to read Quran Sharif, etc. But one is an ijtimai amal is going to take place, and preference should be given to an ijtimai amal over our own individual infiradi amal. The other is, unfortunately, out of necessity, I have to sit here, or whoever is giving the bayan, and to sit higher than the Quran, is be a rabbi of the Quran, this is set of the Quran. Therefore, unfortunately, we have to request the brothers that they can put away the Qurans for now, read later, inshallah. Otherwise, everyone has the right to make his own ibadah, and for the day of Jummah, ibadah is very preferential. But ijtimai ibadah is much more superior also. Today's talk, inshallah, Allah give tawfiq, it is a question which is in many minds, especially new brothers, even for old brothers to revise our sabaks and to re-understand that what is tasawwuf, what is islah, what is meant by it, and also that how can a person make his islah, where can he make his islah? Because these questions are in the minds of many brothers, and many people ask these questions also. The tasawwuf is as old as what Islam is. One person asked that Islam, the tasawwuf is not in Quran and Hadith, etc. So a great Buzurg gave the reply, Al-Islamu al-tasawwuf kullu. The whole of Islam, every aspect is the tasawwuf. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, there is no ayat, there is no hadith that is empty of tasawwuf. What is this? The whole Quran Sharif is how to find Allah, how to get to Allah Ta'ala. The, what we call, now when we say ma'rifat, then it seems to be something different. But the recognition to know Allah Ta'ala, everyone has to know his master. Every dog knows its master. Every person knows its master. So to know our master Allah, that is what is called ma'rifat. And that is what is the essence and object of the tasawwuf. So every ayat is in order to find Allah, to reach to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So the ayat, to know the ayat, the knowledge of the ayat, and then to make amal, that is all what the soul is. And like everything, it needs a special direction, a special effort. So that branch is called the soul, now suddenly it becomes something alien, something that our ears prick up, that what is this, what is being spoken. But it is nothing different, it is exactly the same thing. It is only the terminology that gets us excited. And terminology is necessary in everything. So, the tasawwuf is to make our islah. And to find Allah, a requisite for that is the islah of a person. When a person was drowned in sin, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانُهُ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. A person who brings iman and he does not mix that iman with sin, with wrongdoing. These are those people who have peace and who are guided towards Allah Ta'ala, towards deen, towards the ni'mat of akhirah. So together with sin, together with our hearts being dirty, we can't find Allah. Allah does not come in that heart. This glass here, if forget Zamzam water, this most probably Zamzam water here, but ordinary tap water also. If the glass, not dirty inside, but if it's dirty outside, we don't want to give somebody what we say, the glass is dirty, bring a clean glass. And if you do give somebody in a glass, which is only dirty outside, not inside, the person will also feel offended, you gave me water in a dirty glass. So if the heart is dirty, how will Allah come into a dirty heart? And once the heart has been cleansed, we in fact don't have to invite Allah to come into that heart. Allah automatically comes into a clean heart. So there are two aspects really of our effort, of our islah, of our tasawwuf, to cleanse the heart, and then Allah comes automatically in that heart. When our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum was returning from New York to Karachi, he had to change his plane. He was in transit in Damascus, Syria, And please make lot of dua for the Muslims of Syria. They are going through a very, very, very tough time. So there Allah blessed Hazrat with this very beautiful poem, which say in this poem that غير لا إله مقدم هي كلمة التوحيد. The la, the negative, is the forerunner, is the introduction, is the first part of our kalima tawheed. The negative is the first part in our kalima tawheed. What does that mean? Which in our zikr, when we make one muraqabah that we should make strongly, that with every la ilaha, that we are taking the negative things out of the heart. The wrong things are out of the heart. So that is the first effort to do, to take out all the wrong, the negative things, like pride in a person, laziness in the matter of deen, the sun looking at other women, etc., whatever, all the wrong, the negative things, that we are taking that out. So that is the forerunner. That is the first part in our whole deen. Our deen, the basis of it is kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the most important. And in there, the first thing Allah Ta'ala has kept is to remove the negative. La ilaha muqaddam hai kalma-e tawheed mein. Ghair-e haq jab jaye hai. When all the negative, the wrong things are taken out of the heart, so dil mein haq aa jaye hai. Allah comes into that heart immediately. Allah is looking. Allah has extended His hand of friendship. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Allah said, you acquire taqwa. Allah offered, I want to become your friend. And my friend is dependent on cleanliness of the heart, which we call taqwa. That is all, the cleanliness. And who doesn't want cleanliness? Taqwa is a natural instinct in every human being, in non-Muslims, in Muslims. But when we speak of it specifically, then again our ears prick up, oh, taqwa is very hard, etc. What does taqwa mean literally? To safeguard oneself, to protect oneself, to cleanse oneself. Who doesn't want to safeguard? Everyone is so conscious of germs. We try and protect ourselves from germs all the time. When you are driving, you want to protect yourself. No car must bump you, you are alert all the time. I mustn't drive in such a way, I cause a traffic hazard. Or somebody else maybe just comes in front of me, I gave sharp brakes. Why? I want to protect myself, safeguard myself. You don't just drive recklessly when he made a mistake. I'm just going into him. Safeguard, it's natural. Everything, your property you want to safeguard, your person you want to safeguard, your respect and honor you want to safeguard, everything. So it's a natural thing. So to protect, to safeguard, and to be pure and clean. Who doesn't like to be pure? Juma, Allah has blessed us with this Mubarak day, and one great sunnah of Juma, which generally all the Muslims, all of us practice, to bath, clean clothes. How nice doesn't a person after he is. If we didn't bath today, we are still dirty and we put atar on top. It doesn't cut ice. It doesn't mean anything. But you have taken a bath, you put on your clean clothes, now you put atar, how nice isn't it? So the extra, many people think of that as the soul, putting on the atar, extra ibadah, extra zikr, extra tilawat. No, that the soul is the basic thing to cleanse yourself. So cleanliness, protection, safeguarding oneself is a natural thing. Every person wants to be safeguarded in everything. So in the matters of deen, which are the most important, to safeguard yourself from crooks. Everyone understand? If there are droughts, to safeguard yourself from the famine resulting from there, you store up groceries, food, you protect yourself, your family you are worried about. If there are floods, you protect yourself how much you can, everything you protect. To protect yourself from the azab of Allah, and to protect yourself from the lanat and the curses of Allah, yeah, that is the most important. And all these other things are really that. It's a drop of Allah's azab, all the other problems that we face. So to protect ourselves from Allah, the thing is, droughts, we know what they are and the terrible effects of drought. Poverty, we know what it is and how bad it is for us. We don't like poverty to come to us. Mustn't lose my job. My business mustn't go down. Everyone is worried. But because we haven't found out what is Allah's azab? We haven't found out what is the lanat and the curses of Allah Ta'ala. So we are not worried of protecting ourselves from Allah's curses and lanat. If Allah's lanat is to come on us, Allah's curses have to come onto us, Allah's azab in the least bit, when Allah Ta'ala destroyed the people of Ad and Thamud, He sent the wind that came upon them. When the malaika asked Allah, how much wind must we let loose? Allah, must we let it loose so much like the nostril of a bull? Allah said that there will be no world left, even if so much wind has to come. So what are the treasures, what are the powers of Allah which are hidden? Then less, like the eye of a needle, so much is enough. Right? So when Qiyamah will come, what will be the condition? So to protect oneself. So may Allah let us, and this is the most important, before a person ventures to do a big business deal, build up a big hotel, factory, house, anything, first I mustn't go into problems. I'm thinking I'm going to make a lot of profit, but he safeguards himself. That the thing mustn't turn sour. The deals mustn't, with the contractors, with the any deal, it mustn't go wrong. It mustn't go sour. Lene ke ho jaye. Instead of profiting, yeah, we fall in a big hole. And we're sitting with a big problem, unwanted big hole we dug for ourselves. We were thinking we're going to build a big mansion on that, but instead a big hole, everything went wrong. So a person protects himself from harm is the first thing. So therefore, to protect, and this protection in deen is so valuable to save ourselves from guna, is termed the biggest ibadat. The biggest ibadat is not the making of ibadat. The biggest ibadat is to save ourselves from harm, from wrong. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. Stay away from haram things, and you will be regarded by Allah, you will be recorded, you will be written as the one who made the biggest ibadah. If a person didn't make a big profit, but his capital is still zahim. And guna is losing your capital. And may Allah save us. If we carry on in this way, it comes to the last stage where even we lose our iman. Our most important asset and our most important capital. If we have to lose our iman, that is the biggest loss. And shaitan douses us, like you douse a person, you put petrol on him, you burn him, set him alight. Say, shaitan douses us like this, that even your iman can be gone, but you carry on making namaz. You carry on keeping roza. You still think I'm a Muslim, but you have lost your iman somewhere on the way already. How sad is in that case? So that is what this tasawwuf is, to protect ourselves from harm. To protect ourselves from losing our capital. And the biggest capital of iman, to protect ourselves from that. Not only to gain knowledge all the time, and we don't know what the condition of our iman with regard to that. We were traveling recently, and at one toll gate, I don't remember how much it was, I'm just giving so that we can understand. It was like 12 francs, just to example. So the passenger gave the driver 22 rand. So he gets a note, 10 rand change, note. So he gave it, but the woman who was there, she gave the 2 rand back, which the passenger didn't notice. So then she was now taking out change, so he started making a noise. We're supposed to get a straight 10 rand note. What is she giving? She's going to give us 8 rand, she's going to rob us with 2 rand. So he became excited. We are so conscious of 2 rand. We are so conscious of 50 cent change. But our iman, do we ever consider, is my iman still intact? For one day, we buy anything, and they give us change, or whatever they gave us, we make sure our goods we take delivery. How much don't we make sure? And we shout our workers, you must check properly that our goods have been delivered properly. Our water meter reading, our electricity reading, they mustn't rob us. We are small things, but ask ourselves, today, which is fresh in our mind, who of us thought, is my iman still intact? Is my iman in place still? My namaz, I'm just making it, but do I check out my iman? We fill out a simple form for a passport renewal, for ID, any simple form, we check again, did I put in everything properly? We are conscious. Our namaz, do we ever think, is my namaz according to sunnah? For example, one thought came, I wanted to tell this to the students particularly, but it is for all of us, we will be making all namaz now, and the people who are on the second surf onwards, we look in front, the people who are in the first surf, not to find fault with them, but see that you see almost 80-90% the people are not standing on this surf. Announcements are made, and many people look down also, are we? But still, where are they standing? Not on the surf, they just stand there, they don't move. It just doesn't seem to register with us. This is Islam. To make that Islam. Now stand properly on the surf. So when we see them, they're not on the surf. And a crooked thing is not liked by any person. But crookedness in namaz, so we don't mind it at all. We don't think about it. Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it hurt him so much that if we are crooked, that he made special effort and walked in the surfs to make the surf straight. And the straightening of the surfs means iqamati salah, is the perfection of it. The straightening of the surfs is unity amongst us. We are thinking of, you know, there is no unity because of our problems outside the masjid. The problems of unity are in the masjid. If we straighten our surfs, our hearts will be united. That is one thing. Then see, another thing is that when we're sitting for at-tahiyyat, the shahud position, you'll see the majority of people, we're not sitting according to sunnah. If it's an old man or a young man, he's got problems with his legs, joint problems, some pain, he's not sitting, he's excused. But generally, we are healthy, but how many of us sit according to sunnah? So our namaz generally, our azan, our takbir, not according to sunnah. We are great muftis, we are great shaykh al-hadith, we are mutawallis of the masjid, imams of the masjid, but never comes to our mind that our azan is not according to sunnah. Takbir is, and these are the shi'ar of Islam, the great signposts of Islam, but that also is not according to, so this is what is Islam. And then the sad part is, how many of us propagate that if you become an alim, your Islam is done. You go in jamaat, your Islam is done. We haven't understood what Islam is. Okay? So much so that till today, we'll write books also on eating, etc. And about the adab, the sunnahs of eating, but our own bismillah is not there. We'll do deep research that how to read bismillah, what are the correct words of bismillah, but our reading, we are not reading bismillah. We are not making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So this is what is Islam. Anyway, in the surah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَفْسِي وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Allah has taken a qasam. Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can say a truer word than Allah? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Allah is حَقُّ الْمُبِينَ. The truth, Allah makes it manifest. What need is there for Allah to take a qasam? Qasam, generally a person takes when you doubt it, that he's perhaps not speaking the truth, so take qasam. Take an oath. There is no doubt of Allah. Allah is taking a qasam to convince us. Imagine how kind of Arhamur Rahimeen Allah Ta'ala is. That Allah so much wants our hidayat, that for our sake, Allah, who does not need it at all, he is taking qasam, my banda, please understand, accept what I'm telling. I'm taking qasam and I'm telling you. And the Mufassireen have written, in the whole Quran Sharif, the most qasams, they've counted up to 14 qasams in this few ayahs. Allah took in one place to tell us this subject here, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That this importance of tazkiyah, the importance of islah, Allah Rabbul Izzat has taken 14 qasams to tell us the importance. And today for us it is nothing. We don't even think about it. We don't even give it a thought in any way. When Allah has taken 14 qasams, that how important this is. And those qasams also, Allah is Allah Rabbul Alameen. Allah's knowledge, Allahu Akbar. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. The most knowledgeable is Allah. How strikingly Allah has taken this qasams. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. The sun and the moon and their functioning. Two opposite things. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَيْنَاهَا Well, Ardi Wama Sawaha, the sky and the earth. Wal-layli idha yaghshaha, wal-nahari idha tajallaha. The night and the day, two opposite things, six pairs, three pairs, six things, all opposite things. And that needs a long, long time to explore what Allah has put in there. After taking these six, these three pairs of qasam, six all together, then Allah comes to wa nafsi wa ma sawwaha, which is not in a pair, which is on its own. Allah has highlighted it singularly, on its own. After all the sun and the moon, the day and the night, the earth and the skies, all the sun and the moon, all these qasams, then Allah Ta'ala takes qasam, this nafs, how important it is. And what a thing Allah Ta'ala has stated, وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, how balanced Allah has made the nafs. Balanced outwardly also. Our two eyes are the same size. One eye is a little smaller. If one eye was a big eye and the other one small, how should we look? One ear, like the ear of an elephant, a big fan, and the other ear, a small pumper. One leg, 1 meter, the leg, and the other leg, 1 foot, 12 inches, 30 centimeters. How we should hop and walk, and what should happen? That is outwardly. Inwardly, physically, if your cholesterol is not balanced, it's gone too high, too low, you're a sick person. Your sugar is not balanced, it's not normal, it's gone too high, too low, you're a sick person. Your blood pressure, your kidneys are making too much of what they have to produce. Your pancreas, too much insulin, over the limit, or too little. Everything, Allah made the whole body balanced. And they spot of, it is ajeeb, Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, if a person thinks, how many people in the world, 6 billion people, and the vast majority, which one beautiful dua of the hadith, that Allahumma bihamdika sarraf, oh Allah, only by your compassion and kindness, I'm walking around, the whole world is walking around. Otherwise, one drop of blood travels 100,000 kilometers a day in one human being. We brothers came from Cape Town, they got tired, Allah reward them all their great efforts and sacrifices. How much? 1,500 kilometers, 1,300 kilometers. But the blood, one drop of blood travels 100,000 kilometers every day. And in that process, its servicing gets done in the lungs. How many times it goes to the lungs? All the carbon dioxide is taken out. That same oil, not new oil is put in. The same oil is purified again, oxygen is put in, revitalized again, functioning in the whole body by which our eyes see, our brains work, our legs. Allahumma bihamdika sarraf. And in we were not fit for this. Wa bi dhanbi sarraf, and I admit my sins. Oh Allah, I should have been such that not one clot in my blood system. You get a stroke, you have a clot. You have a heart attack, you become paralyzed, you get a clot. And 100,000 kilometers, one blood. How many drops of blood in the body? If one just, with traffic every day, there is a problem. How many planes are grounded again? Weather conditions. Yeah, weather conditions, Allah made it such. Too hot, Allah has kept the air conditioner in the nose. It cools the air, brings it to the right temperature. Too cold, the air conditioner warms the air. The weather conditions don't affect the system. A person carries on living. What is Allah Ta'ala's system? So this nafs, in the same way as we can understand, outwardly if we were not balanced, physically, biologically if we are not balanced, we are destroyed. And the most important, our life is not dependent so much on food, on air, on oxygen, as it is dependent on ruhaniyat, the ruh which is in the body. A person who doesn't eat, he can still be living. But the minute the ruh goes out, that person is a dead person. So the ruh, how much important isn't it that the ruh must be balanced also? That the ruh in every way must also be balanced. Wa nafsiyu wa ma sawwaha. The ruh must also be balanced in every way. We can easily understand, which the hadith speaks in great abundance about, that the most beloved deen by Allah Ta'ala is that is balanced. If you do too much of one thing, then that deen is not left by Allah. So much you engage in dunya that you neglect your deen. So much you engage in deen that you neglect your dunya. You are not seeing to the needs of your wife, your family. You are neglecting that. That is not balance. To balance everything. And that is our beautiful deen of Islam. There is no nafsaniyat in our deen and no ruhbaniyat in our deen. Not that we become slaves of our nafs, and neither do we become slaves totally only of Allah, and we neglect our dunya. Our dunya also Allah has commanded us, and when we do it, how Allah has told us with the right intention, that dunya also becomes deen. This is that beautiful deen. So wa nafsi wa ma sawwaha. The nafs is the most important, that it must become balanced completely. Then Allah Ta'ala explains this, that how important, what process is of the importance of the nafs. Qad aflaha man zakkaha. Allah has in the past tense, used the verb of the past tense, and put qad taqeed, definitely that person who has made tazkiyah, who has purified, cleansed his deen, and has safeguarded his nafs, that person has gained success. And Allah used the word here, aflaha. Aflaha in Arabic language is such a concise word that it takes in it all types of success. Dunya success, health success, financial success, deen success, akhirat success, all types of success. A person who makes his tazkiyah. So how important is not this? And then Allah wants the opposite. If you look at the other side of the coin, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That person is in a total khaba, total loss. Such loss that you cannot imagine how terrible that loss. When we think of the refugees of Syria or the people there, the people in Palestine, what they are going through, many other places where floods come, electricity is cut off, they sold out water, but not a drop of water to drink. When your sewage spills over now, the system has gone into your sewage, and sewage has filled your house, and raw sewage has filled your house. What great harm. But the worst harm is for that person who didn't make his tazkiyah, who hasn't purified his heart. When the heart is not purified, the eyes are not pure. Then you are looking at filth and dirt all the time. And the worst level you come, you're looking at filth and dirt and you're enjoying yourself. A person who drinks urine and eats stool and is so happy and is singing and is whistling, he's so happy. That's not a mad person, it's not a stupid person, it's only a person, it's not an animal also, it's a person without iman. That munafiq is such a person, he commits all sin and it means nothing to him. A mu'min, the smallest sin he commits and it's like a mountain came on him and he can't tolerate it. So that is how important this tazkiyah is. So Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Then Allah completes the surah, what a essay, what a composition of Allah Ta'ala. Allah then explains, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَهْوَاهَا. The people of Thamud, when they did not do their tazkiyah, take a lesson, see what happened to them. That these were so mighty and strong people, and till today, the houses, the palaces and mansions, they carved out from mountains, solid rock mountains, and they made it like clay in their hands. They just carved out, and till today, these things are visible there. They are preserved in Saudi Arabia. You can see it there, visit there, or go on the internet. You can see the site. That these things, what Allah had blessed them in those years, there were no bulldozers, there were no all these machines that we have, but see what they had built in those days. Such strong people, and who claim, man ashadu minna quwwa, who is more stronger than us? We are the all-powerful. Like today, some countries say, we are the superpower. Who is there who can stand in our way? But Allah, when He wants to show, a ragtag army, people who haven't got army boots also, just sandals, and broken sandals, who haven't got food, pieces of bread, roti in their pocket. When they feel hungry, they just eat one piece of bread and drink water. They destroyed not only that country who says, man ashadu minna quwwa, but the whole alliance of the kuffar. So Allah's qudrat, who can challenge Allah Ta'ala? When man sends up challenger, he's challenging Allah, Allah fails that whole challenger. When man sails his unsinkable Titanic, it sinks in its maiden voyage. Who they say the whole life it will never sink. And its maiden voyage, Allah sinks it and destroys all those people. And Allah in His Qudrat leaves a few people to tell the tale also. That you are not just unmindful, that you don't know what happened there, nobody knows. Allah kept a few to tell the story also. So Allah says, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. The people of Thamud who were so strong, but when they did not make the Islam, how Allah destroyed them. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ. Allah made damdama. In the word Arabic language and in literature, there is one figure of speech that the words tell you, you get the idea, damdama, that how Allah destroyed it. فَسَوَّاهَا. Allah made them level to the ground. Nothing was left of them. So a person, this is how important the tazkiyah is. And islah of the nafs, from here we can understand, may Allah make me and us all understand, the tazkiyah or an islah of the nafs is such a thing that not a moment must pass that we're not conscious about it. How we worried about our finances, We brought some parcel of money, we tell the wife, put it again, it's there, it's safe, you put it properly. We worried about it. Our bank balance, we don't have to check, but again we'll check on the cell phone. Go on the internet, my money is safe there. Everything, we'll phone the cell, you lock the door. The front door of the shop, you lock it. The back door, you lock it. You sure you locked it? We are conscious. But our iman, our islah, we are not worried. And this is the most, and all dunya things will come to a complete full stop at the time of mort. Whether you are the wealthiest man, whether you are the poorest man, all your problems will. You are the healthiest man, you are the most sick man in the world. Whether you had all the problems of the world or you had no problems at the time of mort, which our Shaykh Dawud al-Kurtum depicts so beautifully, qaza aake, mort came, qaza aake, ba hosh ko behosh kar de. A person who was in his full senses, suddenly he's gone totally out of his senses. He can't make one signature now. He can't say, yes, do that deal, I agree to this, we'll carry on. Now nothing he can speak, his lips can't move. Finished. Qaza aake ba hosh ko behosh kar de, hangama hayat ko khamosh kar de. And all this high wage of dunya, this meeting, that meeting, traveling here, making these bookings, those bookings, everything, suddenly he's just lying dead. He's not, can't do anything. And it's not only an 80-year-old man, how many 40-year-old people, 30-year-old people, in the prime of their whole building their empire, suddenly just lying dead, can't move a limb, can't say a thing. So that is what to it. So dunya things will come to an end. Then the real life will start. Annasu niyam. In this world we are all sleeping. People are fast asleep. Dreams we are seeing. All these are dreams. I got this, I got that. I'm suffering. We got a nightmare sometimes. Sometimes a beautiful dream. It's all dreams. That annasu niyam. Wa idha matu intabahu. When they die, that is now when they are shaken into life. Like a person fast asleep. Deep, carry home. And suddenly your watch rings. Now suddenly you are out, you are pulled out of your sleep. Mort is that it will pull us out of our dreams of this dunya. Then we will realize I was just dreaming. And reality of life, wallah, the life of the qabr of the akhirah is million times more stronger, powerful. It's a positive life compared to dunya's life. Like dunya's life compared to the baby in the mother's womb. Nobody will call that life in the womb of the mother. We'll say life is here in this dunya. Just like that, the real life will be in akhirah, starting from the qabr. That will be the real life. Then we will realize I was just dreaming in this dunya. So what is more important, to prepare for this dunya's life or akhirah's life? If we just take a little stock of ourselves, our 24 hours from now, from yesterday, Zohar till now, 24 hours as far as time. How much time have I put for deen and my normal daily routine? Now we came for Islahi Jalsa, so now we are in deen here. We go to an ijtima, we go for umrah, we are all the time in deen. But normally my 24 hours, what portion of time have I devoted for deen? And how much of my time is devoted to dunya? My 24 hours, my potential Allah has given me, my brains, I'm very good with my hands, I'm a very good speaker, I'm a very good writer, whatever. How much of that we use for deen and how much we use for dunya. My finances, what I gain, I'm earning 20,000 a rand. How much of my money goes for deen, How much of my money goes for akhirat? For akhirat, for deen, how much of my money is spent for dunya? So we will see whether we are really preparing for dunya or we are preparing for akhirat. Which is more important? And really, our maqsad, this dunya is only lahmu wa la'ib. It is only time pass. And it is only tongful Allah, the absolute. It's our iman. There is nobody who has got knowledge like Allah. And Allah has declared this dunya, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَّعُ الْغُرُورِ. It is only deception. A box of deception. Like you buy a lucky box, you buy something, what is filled inside? The Allah Himself who created dunya, He says it's deception. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَحْمُ وَلَعِيمُ. It is only time passed. And it is only play. That is all what this dunya is. You say, it's haram to watch films, but you watch a film, if you have any sense in you, you know it is just nothing real. It's just something that it's not real life. It's just a film you are watching. This dunya is just a film, a fleeting show, you see. Nothing else. وَإِنَّ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The real life is the life of the akhirah. Allah is declaring. In quantity, that life is forever. In quality, a person who could have all the ni'mat of this dunya compared to akhirat, if he has to get the smallest ni'mat, he'll say, I was in azab in dunya. With all his mansions and his biryani and his plow and whatever he could have, women, girls, whatever he could have, he'll say, I was in azab. And a person who was in azab in this dunya, the worst type of problems, if he gets the least azab in akhirat, he'll say, I was in jannat in dunya. There I have no problems whatsoever. Problems are here. That is the magnitude of that. That's the concept. That is what we have to prepare. This is the fikr. Really, it isn't just making some zikr. It isn't just becoming bayat and just passing. It is that concern of my real life of akhirah. And then, wujud e'amal, the existence of amal, will come from Darul Ulooms for those who study in the Darul Ulooms. For the general public, in the Tabligh Jamaat, namaz comes into existence now. People start making namaz. Women going to parda. How lot of good things are happening. From the Darul Ulum, students graduate. They are now 5 times namaz. They have got ilm, knowledge, all those things. Person goes 4 months in Jamaat, gives regularly time in Jamaat. His dressing comes right. His appearance comes right. His namaz comes right. Everything. And so the wujud of amal, Allah has kept in Darul Ulooms and Tabligh Jamaat. And the qabool of amal, that amal must be made qabool, that is in the Hanukkah. That is, if you are old, you became 6 years ali, but no ikhlas, sincerity. Your 6 years of effort will go down the drain. 6 years of effort, you came first every year. You passed with distinction, pride has come into you now. You did it with sincerity, but now pride came into you. The day of your graduation, the amal is put, and now pride comes into you. 6 years of effort gone down the drain. Whole life we do Jamaat work. We go every year for Umrah. And if we don't do it with sincerity, it's lost. We do it with sincerity, but now we boast. I never missed my jilda to make it, to for name fame. We're telling people, you know, I never missed my Shab Guzari. My every year annual Umrah, I never missed it. Pride has come into you, down the drain. So this is that place to bring qabooliyat in your amal. To do amal is not enough. Man jaa bil hasan. A person who does amal and he comes with that good deed to Allah Ta'ala. That will be accepted by Allah. Not just to do an amal. You made 10,000 rand profit in your business, but the crook stole it. What's the use of it? Nothing, no benefit in it. Then you make 20 rand profit, but it's saved by you. You got something in your hand. So a person who makes his amal and it is accepted and he goes with it to Allah. And Allah arhamur rahimin wa man jaa bi sayyi'ati. A person who comes with guna will be punished. So Allah gave you your whole life opportunity to make tawbah. Sincere tawbah, 1 minute, just in your heart, without a word on your tongue. Your tawbah is accepted. All your kufr gunas are made ma. Your worst goodness that you have committed, adultery you committed, but nazri you did, what goodness you did, just in your heart, Ya Allah, I'm very wrong. I've made tawbah. I won't do it. Please make me All that guna, whole lifetime's guna from his mouth. So you made a guna, you don't have to be despondent. A person who didn't make tawbah and goes with his guna, that person is going to have problems. Otherwise, whole life Allah gave you opportunity, make tawbah, correct yourself. Come without the guna to me. Come with your good deeds to me. And everything is for you. May Allah give us the reality of this and let us understand what this great effort is and how important it is for every individual, for every, for whether it's a Darul Uloom, whether it's Khansa, whether it's the Hajj Umrah people, whether it's Jamaat people, how important it is for all that wujud e Aman must also be there, Qabool e Aman must also be there. May Allah give us all of it. Please reply to Azan and use the reward.